Welcome to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who motivate you to overcome the odds, break down barricades, and shift your beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Share in the journey and find a new path full of miracles waiting to be discovered. Now, here's your host, Candace McClain.
Hello and welcome to Everyday Miracles. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm your host, Candace McClain, and this is the show where we open our minds to unlimited possibilities each and every week. I'm so excited about today's show because we have an extraordinary woman who will be joining us in a few moments. A woman who's inspired literally millions of people around the world through her vision and her personal journey that thankfully for us, she's so openly shared over the years through her several best-selling books. I'm talking about the powerful and inspirational Reverend Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt, who'll be joining us on the show today. And her latest book is called Peace from Broken Pieces, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And, you know, this topic of peace is fitting for today. Of course, today is Remembrance Day or Veterans Day, and I was giving some thought about what this day means in the world today and what it means to me. And it is about paying tribute and respect for the sacrifices of so many men and women who stood up and stand up today for peace with the greatest conviction possible with their lives. And because of them, we have the freedoms that we do. But in addition to that, it's a reminder to aim to live peacefully. And so what does that really mean? Peace is so much more than just the absence of conflict or the absence of war. Peace is a feeling of safety, of belonging, of well-being and harmony, as much with ourselves as with the world around us. And I'm sure our guest today can help us to learn how to attain that greater peace in our lives. Reverend Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt is an ordained Yoruba priestess, a lawyer, a spiritual life counselor, and one of the nation's 10 best orators. She's an award-winning author of 5 New York Times bestsellers, including Acts of Faith, One Day My Soul Just Opened Up, and In the Meantime, she's widely regarded as one of America's leading authorities on spirituality and empowerment, and is the founder of Inner Visions Worldwide, a network of spiritual practitioners who assist in the spiritual growth and of all peace from broken pieces. She details the last 10 years of her life and the spiritual lessons she's personally learned to find her way through the broken pieces, to move from pain to peace in her life, from the price of success during her rise as a TV celebrity on Oprah, a TV show, to the discouragement and her daughter's 15 months of illness and death on Christmas Day. It's arising from is reflected in our relationships and the strength and wisdom she's gained by supporters of their lives. Iyanla, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you?
Wonderful. It's such an honor to have you with us today. And I want to talk about peace for a moment. Mm-hmm. And I think we all have a role to play in creating a culture of peace, whether it's through forgiveness or caring or sharing, facing our duty to offer to help us to live in peace, maybe individually and globally.
Well, I think the individual peace is what will lead to a more global or communal peace.
Yeah.
There are just some things that we have to do. Number one, we must learn to tell the truth. We must tell the truth to ourselves, about ourselves, to other people, about who we are, what we need, what we want, what we expect. We must tell the truth to other people about how they impact us. You know, one of the things that I learned after my daughter passed, and I was reading her journal, I learned that the way she experienced me is not the way I really thought I was being with her. I thought I was being fully present, accepting, non-judgmental. But that's not how she experienced me. So I think that had she been able to tell me a deeper level of truth, as we are able to tell one another a deeper level of truth, we'll move towards peace because we won't have all these unspoken conversations polluting the air.
Yeah.
You know, when you have an unspoken conversation in your marriage, with your parents, with your children, with your coworkers, unspoken conversations pollute the energy and they keep us from peace. So that's number one, learn to tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
Number two, I think, is learn to forgive. Forgive everybody for everything, starting with yourself. Forgiveness opens the mind and the heart to possibilities that we can't see when we're holding on to resentment, regrets, rejection, bitterness, anger. We can't see the new possibilities that lie before us. So until we forgive, we stay kind of spiritually constipated. I think it's a good way to look at it.
That's an interesting way to put it, but yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And the second thing to do is to allow ourselves just to be. You know, we are so driven trying to fix this, change that, get this, do that. When the more time we just allow ourselves to be, I've always thought it funny that, you know, we have to schedule vacations, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody is schedule a vacation. And then you rush around like a lunatic to go on the vacation. You work to rest on the vacation. And sometimes you come back from the vacation more exhausted than you were before you left. But if we just allow ourselves to be, you know, moment by moment, day by day, allow ourselves to be with what comes forward, allow ourselves to be with our feelings, allow ourselves to be with other people without judgment, without hashing up the past, peace would happen. So it's tell the truth, learn to forgive, and allow yourself to be. I think those are the three things that if we practice them individually, they will infect our communities and the globe.
Yeah, and I think that concept of telling the truth is difficult, and maybe sometimes we need to go to those people in our lives and ask them about how they experience us.
Absolutely, and be willing to hear it. I know when I read my daughter's journal, I was horrified. I was absolutely horrified. So I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. But she was gone, and I couldn't have that conversation with her. You know, and then because she wasn't here and I couldn't have the conversation, I had to sit with, be with, look at, well, why would she think that? And I have to say, because of the energy that maybe I carried or the energy that I brought forward, that's what she picked up and that's what she got. But, you know, in Peace from Broken Pieces, I opened the door to look at something I call pathology. And I believe, or in my own life, I recognize that I was born with a propensity to certain pathologies, certain ways of thinking, being, and behaving that I inherited. You know, my mother was an alcoholic, so I marinated in her womb in shame and guilt and anger. And when I was born and as I grew, I found so many places in my life where I experienced shame or guilt or anger. It was a pathology. It was something that was passed on to me. And those are the broken pieces. And we all have broken pieces. I don't care who you are, you have broken pieces. Some of us do a better job of healing them and living beyond them than others. But everybody has broken pieces. If you don't heal those pieces, if you don't make peace with them, they then become a pathology that you live through, you act out, it shows up in your relationships, your money, it's everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, and you talk a lot about that and your experiences with your grandmother as well, because she was involved in raising you, and you mentioned how your brother was treated completely differently.
Yeah,
from
my
you.
My brother was a chronic asthmatic, which I now know through the grace of Louise Hay that asthmatics are gasping for life, and they can't let a lot of life in. But on the physical level, he was a chronic asthmatic. So every other day, every, you know, 3-4 times a week, we were running with him to the hospital. So he was treated very gently and very gingerly. I'm sure in his subconscious mind or in his soul contract, he came forward with that, you know, so that he would have a certain experience in life. I, on the other hand, was very talkative and very busy and very curious and a very strong, powerful personality, which, you know, in my days, children were seen and not heard. Well, I wasn't having any of that, you know.
Right,
so I was
yeah.
going to be seen and I was going to be heard, which disturbed my brother, and then it became, you're upsetting him, you'll give him an asthma attack, blah, 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 blah. The pathology
so
is accommodate people in their limitations. I've done that, did that for a great portion of my life. When I see someone is limited, instead of supporting them to into a new possibility or presenting to them another opportunity, I would accommodate limitation. I did it with
sure. And Iyanla, I'm just going to get you to hold that thought because we're going to move to break. We are speaking with the phenomenal Reverend Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt today about her new book, Peace from Broken Pieces. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you waiting for a miracle to turn your life around? Look no further. Join Candace McLean, clinical hypnotherapist, speaker, writer, and host of Everyday Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Hear inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who've overcome the odds, broken down barricades, and shifted their beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Let their journeys motivate you and see your life open up in a whole new way. Candace offers a fresh blend of insight, powerful strategies to change your deeply rooted beliefs, and plenty of laughter along the way. Come share in the journey. Tune in Thursdays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for every waiting to be discovered. Day Miracles, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at reservage.com and at the vitamin shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit reservage.com and feel vitality today.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. TransformationTalkRadio.com, transforming the world one listener at a time.
Ladies, are you living an inspired life? Do you yearn for a more passionate, dream-filled life? Here's Linda Joy, founder of Aspire Magazine, and she has a gift for you.
Aspire has launched its Mission to Inspire initiative with a commitment to give away 100,000 one-year digital subscriptions to women around the globe. Every subscription comes with a multitude of free gifts from our team inspiration partners.
To claim it all, go to AspireMag.net today. No purchase necessary. And live an inspired life.
1230 WBLQ.
And welcome back to Everyday Miracles. I'm Candace McLean, and I have Reverend Dr. Iyanla Van Zandt joining me today on the show. We're discussing her latest book, Peace from Broken Pieces. Thank you again for joining me on the show today.
Iyanla,
if people want to learn more about you or your book, how can they find out more information?
They can go to my website at innervisionsworldwide.com. www.innervisionsworldwide.com.
Wonderful. And just before the break there, we were talking about sort of the patterns and the pathologies that get moved through our families, through generations. And more specifically, you were talking about your brother and the fact that he was asthmatic. And so he kind of got a little bit more attention. And then I think in your family as well, men in general were treated differently, were they not?
They were. That is another pathology that I inherited from my family as a woman. And we know that's a whole nother show about women learning to stand in their power. But in my family, the particular pathology was, don't expect much from men. Don't ask men for anything. Their needs are more important than your needs. And, you know, to keep them around, you basically have to accept and tolerate bad behavior. Now, no one came out and said that, but, you know, as children, we see what's going on, we hear what's being said, and then we make up stories when we're alone in our head without adult supervision. And that's usually how the pathologies get passed on. No one explains, you just kind of make it up. So I grew up thinking that, you know, my brothers, my father's, my uncle's needs and desires were more important because as men they were more important. And it was well into my adulthood when I had to start dismantling that. The other thing that pathologies usually lead to, and when I say pathology, I'm talking about looking underneath this, not just physical, but whenever we don't have peace and harmony and joy in our life, when we're not standing in our authentic self. So when I say pathology, I'm looking at those things underneath some of the experiences that we see today with the rapid growth of heart disease, hypertension, blood disorders, cancer, particularly breast cancer among women. I mean, it's almost like an epidemic. You know, it's an epidemic, the proportions that we are hearing about. And I say there's a emotional and a spiritual pathology under those things that we need to look at. And one of them is the personal lie. You know, I had a personal lie that I'm not allowed. I'm not allowed to have what I want, to be who I am, to do what I want. Because as a child, I was taught that who I was unacceptable. And what I wanted wasn't available. And I lived that for a very long time. And we all have these little personal lies that we live.
And so from seeing that lie for what it was, how did you go about rewriting your story to reflect your personal truth?
Well, I'm still writing, so
yeah.
I'm not sure that is rewritten yet. I'm still in the writing process. But it just gets to a point when I think we have to become mindful of why we do what we do. So, for example, very early in my life, I was in an abusive marriage, and I stayed in that marriage for 9 years. And it wasn't until I had been out of the marriage for 20 years that I said, okay, why did I do that? What was I going for? What was I denying? What was I acting like I didn't know? And what is it that drove me to do that? Well, I came to find out that my mother and father were in an abusive relationship. I didn't know that consciously because my mother died when I was 3. But prior to that, I came to understand because someone in my family finally told the truth and told me that my mother and father had a very volatile relationship. I had no idea.
Okay.
None.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at how you do what you do. Question why you do what you do. What's the payoff? What are you getting out of it? What is the break? What is the breakdown? What is the piece that's missing so that you can begin to put your own puzzle together?
And one of the things you said in your book is lives fall apart when they need to be rebuilt.
Yes.
Why do you think your life needed rebuilding?
Because I had built this wonderfully successful public life on a cracked foundation. I had many, many cracks in my foundation that I didn't even know about. And And I didn't know about them until my daughter died and my husband left. That's when I started looking at, okay, what is this about? I'm not a wretched, ragged creature, and I don't do bad things. I basically have a good heart and a brilliant mind. So what in the world is going on here? And I began to look at the truth of how I felt. And the truth was I was guilty about crawling out of the pit that I had been born into. And I was guilty that while I was successful and wealthy, my brother and my sister were both struggling and suffering. Both of them are now dead. I'm the baby. My brother suffered most of his life being cross-addicted to drugs and alcohol. My sister, you know, labored in poverty, and every other month I was buying her out of something or bailing her out of something. And I felt very guilty about being the one, like the one who got it. And
yeah,
that guilt, that consciousness of guilt, as I said, is what I marinated in my mother's womb. So, you know, I had to really take a look at how my life fell apart. And at the core, at the base, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it.
Yeah. And I mean, you suffered a series of losses there for a while,
yeah,
on so many levels. I mean, of course, your daughter and your marriage, but also your career. You lost your home. You know, you lost your life's purpose. All of these things. When was it for you that you realized you were at?
One day I was sitting on the edge of my bed and I decided that this is it. I can't do this again. I mean, I crawled up out of the gutter from welfare, from the projects, from an abusive relationship. And in one hand I had this I had my daughter's pain medications. I don't even know what it was. Morphine, dopamine, something. I don't know. And in the other hand I had this lovely pink pistol. So I'm like, okay, how am I going? Which is the best way? Am I going to take these pills and just lay down and die, or am I going to blow my brains out? And, you know, my prayer life, my love of God, my, you know, I had sown a lot of prayers, and I had done a lot of work. And in the midst of that rock-bottom moment, I just heard a voice said, you really are not going to do this. Well, just put that down. Stop being dramatic. Put that down. Just stop it now.
Stop being dramatic.
I just just put that down, you know. And then I realized, you know what? My mother died when I was 3. My daughter died at 31. My mother was 33 when she died. My daughter was 31 when she died. And my daughter had a daughter. And just the thought of leaving my granddaughter motherless and grandmotherless, I couldn't do it. I said, I can't do this. Okay, fine. Let me just do something else. Let me go eat some chocolate. I can't do that. And, you know, I say it very lightly because now it certainly strikes me very lightly. And I know there are people maybe even listening to the show who have been at that place where you're just like, I just want out. The truth is that people who commit suicide or people who contemplate suicide are looking for an end to the pain. The pain is overbearing, overwhelming. We're looking for an end to the pain, and we believe that if we're not in this body, we won't have the pain anymore. But we create pain when we do that. We create pain for other people, even if we're convinced that nobody cares. And the thing, what I discovered, what the reason I was in so much pain was because I was trying to do it, fix it, change it, heal it on my own, that I had not said to God, help me. Help me. I can't do this.
Yeah.
And the minute I said that, I felt better.
And certainly God has been, central in your life, and you've never been shy about expressing that. And in your book, you mentioned that the foundation of your relationship to God died that day along with your daughter. So how did you go about rebuilding that relationship? And was there a time that you thought you may not be able to rebuild it?
Well, I think that day, you know, when I was really going to take my life, that was the beginning of it, when I could say, help me, and expect the help to come. because I had said help me a lot of other times, but I didn't expect it to come. And what I realized was because I didn't get what I wanted, I had built this whole mistrust of who God was and what God could do. And what I wanted God to do was save my daughter. You know, and I prayed about it and I begged and I pleaded. And then when my daughter died, I was like, okay, I'm really, 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 really mad at you and I'm not speaking to you anymore. Well, that didn't work. What I had to understand was my daughter and her life, that was God's business. That wasn't
it was.
My business.
And we're just going to move to break for a moment, and I want you to continue with that when we come back. Some inspirational words from Reverend Dr. Ian LaVanzant. You're listening to Everyday Miracles on the Transformation Network. When we come back, reflecting on purpose. How do you get on the road to finding it? We'll be right back.
Welcome to Everyday Miracles with Candace McClain, opening your mind to unlimited possibilities. Inspirational, compelling stories from leading transformers who motivate you to overcome the odds, break down barricades, and shift your beliefs, emerging stronger than ever. Share in the journey and find a new path full of miracles waiting to be discovered. Now, here's your host, Candace McClain.